Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
Lancelot and Guinevere, 3. In the evening came Sir Lavaine, riding in great haste, and Sir Lancelot was glad that he had come. Now Sir Lancelot was right when he feared to trust Sir Meliagraunce, for that knight only sought to work ill both to him and to the queen for all his fair words. And first he began to speak evil of the queen to Sir Lancelot, who dared him to prove his foul words, and it was settled between them that a combat should take place in 8 days in the field near Westminster. And now, said Sir Meliagraunce, since it is decided that we must fight together, I beseech you, as you are a noble knight, do me no treason nor villainy in the meantime. Any knight will bear me witness, answered Sir Lancelot, that never have I broken faith with any man, nor borne fellowship with those that have done so. Then let us go to dinner, said Sir Meliagraunce, and afterwards you may all ride to Westminster. Meanwhile, would it please you to see the inside of this castle? That I will gladly, said Sir Lancelot, and they went from chamber to chamber till they reached the floor of the castle. And as he went, Sir Lancelot trod on a trap, and the board rolled, and he fell down into a cave which was filled with straw. Sir Meliagraunce departed, and no man knew where Sir Lancelot might be. The queen thought to herself that he was wont to disappear suddenly, and as Sir Meliagraunce had first removed Sir Lavaine's horse from the place where it had been tethered, the knights agreed with her. So time passed until dinner had been eaten, and then Sir Lavaine demanded litters for the wounded knights that they might be carried to Westminster with as little hurt as might be, and the queen and her ladies followed. When they arrived, the knights told of their adventure, and how Sir Meliagraunce had accused the queen of treason, and how he and Sir Lancelot were to fight for her good name in 8 days. Sir Meliagraunce has taken a great deal upon him, said the king. But where is Sir Lancelot? Sir, answered they all, we know not, but we think he has ridden to some adventure. Well, leave him alone, said the king. He will be here when the day comes, unless some treason has befallen him. All this while, Sir Lancelot was lying in great pain within the cave, and he would have died for lack of food, had not one of the ladies in the castle found out the place where he was held captive, and brought him meat and drink, and hoped that he might come to love her. But he would not. Sir Lancelot, said she, you are not wise, for without my help you will never get out of this prison. And if you do not appear on the day of battle, your lady, Queen Guinevere, will be burnt in default. If I am not there, replied Sir Lancelot, the king and the queen, and all men of worship will know that I am either dead or in prison. And sure I am that there is some good knight who loves me or is of my kin, that will take my quarrel in hand. Therefore you cannot frighten me by such words as these. If there was not another woman in the world, I could give you no different answer. Then you will be shamed openly, replied the lady, and left the dungeon. But on the day that the battle was to be fought, she came again and said, Sir Lancelot, if you will only kiss me once, I will deliver you, and give you the best horse in Sir Meliagraunce's stable. Yes, I will kiss you, answered Sir Lancelot, since I may do so that honorably. But if I thought it were any shame to kiss you, I would not do it, whatever the cost. So he kissed her, and she brought him his armor and led him to a stable, where 12 noble horses stood, and offered that he choose the best. He chose a white courser, and requested from the keepers to put on the best saddle they had. With his spear in his hand and his sword by his side, he rode away, thanking the lady for all she had done for him, which some day he would try to repay. As the hours passed, and Sir Lancelot did not come, Sir Meliagrance called ever on the King Arthur to burn the queen, or else bring forth Sir Lancelot, for he thought full well that he had Sir Lancelot safe in his dungeon. The king and queen were sore distressed that Sir Lancelot was missing, and knew not where to look for him, nor what to do. Then Sir Lavaine stepped forth and said, "My lord Arthur, you know well that some ill fortune has happened to Sir Lancelot, and if he is not dead, he is either sick or in prison. Therefore, I beseech you, let me do battle, instead of my lord and master, for my lady the queen." "I thank you heartily, gentle knight," answered Arthur, "for I am sure that Sir Meliagrance accuses the queen falsely, and there is not one of the 10 knights who would not fight for her, were it not for his wounds. So do your best, for it is plain that some evil has been wrought on Sir Lancelot." Sir Lavaine was filled with joy when the king gave him leave to do battle with Sir Meliagrance, and rode swiftly to his place at the end of the lists. Just as the heralds were about to cry, "Laissez-les aller," Sir Lancelot dashed into the middle on his white horse. "Hold and abide," commanded the king, and Sir Lancelot rode up before him and told before them all how Sir Meliagrance had treated him. When the king and queen and all the lords heard Sir Lancelot's tale, their hearts stirred within them with anger, and the queen took her seat by the king in great trust of her champion. Sir Lancelot and Sir Meliagrance prepared themselves for battle, and took their spears and came together as thunder, and Sir Lancelot bore Sir Meliagrance right over his horse. Then Sir Lancelot jumped down, and they fought on foot, till in the end Sir Meliagrance was smitten to the ground by a blow on his head from his enemy. "Most noble knight, save my life," cried he, "for I yield myself unto you, and put myself into the king's hands and yours." Sir Lancelot did not know what to answer, for he longed above anything in the world to have revenge upon him. So he looked at the queen to see whether she would give him any sign of what she would have done. The queen shook her head in answer, and Sir Lancelot knew by that token that she would have him dead, and he understood, and bade Sir Meliagrance get up and continue the fight. "Nay," said Sir Meliagrance, "I will never rise till you accept my surrender." "Listen," answered Sir Lancelot, "I will leave my head and my left side bare, and my left arm shall be bound behind me, and in this guise I will fight with you." At this, Sir Meliagrance started to his feet and cried, "My lord Arthur, take heed to his offer, for I will take it. Therefore let him be bound and unarmed as he has said." So the knights disarmed Sir Lancelot, first his head and then his side, and his left hand was bound behind his back, in such a manner that he could not use his shield. And full many a knight and lady marvelled that Sir Lancelot would risk himself so. And Sir Meliagrance lifted his sword on high, and would have smitten Sir Lancelot on his bare head, had he not leapt lightly to one side. And before Sir Meliagrance could right himself, Sir Lancelot struck him so hard upon his helmet that his skull split in two, and there was nothing left to do but to carry his dead body from the field. And because the knights of the Round Table begged to have him honorably buried, the king agreed, and on his tomb mention was made of how he came by his death, and who slew him.